Hey, it's a cold open. Part two of a two-part podcast with Robbie Callen of CBSSports.com. In part one, we discussed the Atlanta Hawks, Dwight Howard, the Eastern Conference, Oregon Trail, all the good stuff you would expect from us in the basketball talking aspect of doing a podcast. In part two, there is no basketball talk. There might be a couple of small mentions here and there, but this is in order to review the finale of The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Yes, it's a juice pod. And to go over a review of Purge 3 election year. Again, I can't stress enough how little basketball talk there is. So if you wanted basketball talk, this is not it. If you wanted us talking nonsense, this is the perfect second part of a podcast for you. Thank you for listening. If you want the first part, it's probably in your iTunes feeds, your Stitcher feeds, your XML feeds, your iPhone, your Android, whatever you listen to a podcast on, it's in there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for reviewing. Here is part two with Robbie Callen.
I feel like we've talked enough basketball.
That's actually way more than I wanted to talk.
We do this every time.
Yeah. So, are we going people or are we going purge?
Man.
You know what? The verdict's in. Let's go people real quick.
Bang.
How about that? So, The People versus O.J. Simpson. We have been a fan of it. We were going to do the final juice pod right after it. But I think that I was in the middle of the playoffs, and I think you got sent to something.
Yeah, it was
a golf tournament or a NASCAR.
I was at a golf tournament. I went to I think the Wells Fargo. You were doing, and then playoffs started, and then we actually got busy. I had to do some UFC stuff.
Right, like the one
stuff.
Time we actually have real work to do.
Yeah, like
it was very inconvenient. Who scheduled this thing?
Seriously.
Yeah.
So we apologize to the people. I know y'all have been waiting for the juice pod, final juice pod, which for whatever, shout out to the listeners for actually like enjoying the juice pod and asking us to keep doing it. I honestly thought we would do like two episodes and people would be like, please stop.
Yeah, we've only offended one high-ranking official in a foreign government.
Yeah, but like, I feel like that's low.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have done two or three, so
I offended a lot of countries over the last couple of weeks with the whole Olympic basketball thing.
Oh my gosh, I bet.
Yeah, people just don't like the, I wouldn't say disrespectful, but just the, I don't know, confident American basketball fan.
I mean, I don't understand why an American basketball fan would be confident.
Is it wrong that I was kind of with Jerry Colangelo when he was like, the other countries should get their act together? And, like,
hey,
and become more competitive, and everyone's like, oh, Jerry Colangelo, how can you say that? And I was like, he's not wrong. Maybe he didn't put it in the right words, but he's not wrong with the sentiment.
I mean, look, we sent the B team.
Yeah.
And put it on, I mean, look, there were some close games, and
in group play.
When those guys were, if you saw them at, whenever they were shown on TV, they were not exactly in the best shape.
I gotta know what happened with Draymond Green in Rio, because
why was Vice or someone not with him?
He played so horribly.
Him and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy at least would defend, right?
Jimmy would try, but like Jimmy couldn't shoot. Like his jump shot fell apart in Rio. I don't know if it can't travel outside the country.
Draymond shot 10% from three.
You know, Draymond 10%. Really enjoyed Rio.
Yeah, I think that was the world's best shot at stealing a gold since 2004, and 2020 should be a nightmare for them. That's what I'll say. But the juice pod. So the finale, we get to a verdict pretty quickly in the show, right? They didn't really...
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes in. They didn't...
That around because, really, the jury in real life didn't really discuss it all that much.
That was my favorite part, is like realizing that I think on this podcast we've spent more time discussing it than the jury did in coming to a verdict.
We definitely did.
Like we've pored over a television show more than they did the trial of the century. So yeah, they get to the verdict. They did a really good job with the verdict reading. Like they had it down. They had the stutter and everything down on Orenthal. You know, and then my favorite part is David Schwimmer, as really was my favorite part of the whole show. if I mean, have we had the Emmys? Have I missed that? Am I supposed to be mad yet that he doesn't have an Emmy?
I think it's for next year. Next year's Emmys is when this show is eligible.
Okay, well, I'll yell then when he doesn't sweep and the show doesn't sweep.
Right.
Because he comes out and is, like, distraught. He's the worst defense lawyer ever.
The first two episodes were, like, peak Schwimmer, right?
Right.
Like, the first two episodes are just, like, he's given us everything. Like, Uncle Juice wouldn't do this. Juice, Juice, Juice. Like, he's really, like, he always looks like he's trying to, like, solve a Sudoku, like, without without going by the boxes. Like, he's just, like, trying to, like, the hardest Sudoku you can imagine. He's trying to beautiful mind it. Right, exactly. That's the look on his face at all times. And then it was just kind of nothing. Like, he'd have a couple of spots here and there throughout the next few episodes, but it was really, like, about the trial, and he wasn't all that heavily involved in the trial, so they'd throw him a bone every once in a while with a couple of scenes, but for the most part, like, it was everyone else. It was Darden, it was Johnny, it was Marsha, it was Travolta, you know, it was, like, everyone. But then...
I like that you went with Johnny and Marsha, like, you went with the actual names for everybody, like, the actual people name, and then it's not Shapiro, it's Travolta.
It's Travolta, no, He's Travolta no matter where he is to me. and so once the verdict's read in the court, now it's like, oh, boom, here comes Schwimmer inside this courtroom, inside the show, like the Kool-Aid man, just busting through the wall. He's the show for the next, like, 15 minutes.
He comes out, he runs to the bathroom and just vomits all over the sink. Which, who vomits in a sink? What kind of savage doesn't go to the toilet, Schwimmer?
Yeah, that's I'm at a point in my life where I'd never need to see vomit in a movie or TV show again.
Yeah.
I just make the noise, right? Just make the noise, and I can make the connection. Like, yeah, all right, he vomited. Like, I don't need to see stuff come out of his mouth. But if someone's going to do it, irresponsibly. Like, Schwimmer in a sink? I can live with that.
Yeah, I don't need to see it. If he's doing it in, like, a toilet, like, I understand. Like, just show the stall, like, show the outside of the stall, and then the noise, and I know what's happening.
I was honestly waiting for him to, like, turn the hand dryer upside down and, like, vomit into that. Like, that's kind of, or, like, in the soap dispenser. So, like, I was really expecting, like, just anywhere that didn't make sense.
It would have been even better if he, just, like, in between the sinks. Like, you know how they have, like, multiple sinks? If he had just, like, purposely hit right between two of the sinks.
Right, or removed the garbage bag from the trash can and then puked inside the trash can, sans garbage bag.
Put his garbage bag back on top. Yeah, so he does that, and, like, just the worst defense attorney. Like, I know they're trying to show that he had some kind of moral come-to-Jesus moment about the trial, but, like, you can't go from Uncle Juice would never do it to puking in the sink and crying when he gives you his Bible back because you feel like you gave him the strength to get through this or something. Don't give me that.
The Bible back is great.
It's a really good one.
I've never thought, like, granted, I could be wrong about this. I've just never considered the Kardashian family to be all that religious, except for when Kris Jenner Kardashian was finding her way into, like, a tax break by starting a church. That's the only time I've actually believed that there might be some kind of religious sentiment. But maybe that left when he passed away. Maybe this whole time, like, he's just carrying a Bible around, giving it to criminals that he's protecting. I'm sorry. Suspects, not criminals.
Suspects.
Yeah.
Suspects.
Maybe that was the case. Maybe I just had it wrong.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's the moral compass. So, yeah, he does that. And then, like, OJ cracks the joke about that better not be a white Bronco, which I thought that was a pretty good line.
That was great.
I enjoyed that. And then, like, going back a little, the jury deliberation scene was weird. Like, it was just straight, just people getting bullied into changing their vote.
I do wonder, I mean, I know a lot of this is, you know, based off, like, testimony and books and all this stuff. I do wonder if that's how it kind of was.
Part of the problem, and we've said this on the pod talking about this, is, like, I treated this a little bit too much like a documentary, and, like,
when I watched,
and it's partially because I want to believe all of it because it's so absurd.
When I watched the documentary, the amazing documentary on ESPN, the 30 for 30.
So good, by the way.
Yeah. Part of me was, there was, like, I enjoyed it so much. I thought it was brilliant. I thought the way it, you know, attacks, like, the race relations of around the entire event, I thought it was just spectacular, right? Like, so perfectly done. But part of me was like, this could use more Schwimmer. Like, this could use more Darden putting moves on Marsha and then, like,
Where is Courtney B. Vance?
Right, where's Courtney B. Vance? Like, I don't want to disrespect, like, the filmmakers and everything that, but yeah, like, I wanted to treat The People vs. O.J. Simpson like a true documentary.
Yeah, it's
hard to know if it's not, I guess is what I'm saying.
I mean, look, there are accounts, it's based off of a book, and, like, you can't lie in a book.
Right, no, that's a law.
Not allowed to.
No, that's just good Georgia State schooling coming through right there.
Public school, baby. Yeah, so, you know, they did that, like, it was a very quick jury deliberation. They get out, Schwimmer does his puke thing. They go back, and, like, he throws the party, and, like, that, you know, I understand what they're trying to go for. They're trying to show that, like, he had kind of just, like, lost all of his stuff, and, like, all of his friends and people had, like, turned on OJ, turned on the juice.
Yeah. I would have liked
a
more
talking
reckless
to the waiter, like, how do I know you?
Right. I would have liked a more reckless OJ, to be honest. I thought it was a little understated.
Right. Yeah, because, like, honestly, I feel like I know it was just about the trial, but I feel like we should have gotten, like, an epilogue episode about how OJ essentially went nuts after that.
Yeah,
because
I would have
really enjoyed watching Cuba just go nuts.
And I think he would have done a really good job at it.
Fantastic.
And two, I just would have liked to see them, like, force Schwimmer and Travolta into the story more of just, like, oh, they're going on a power walk through Brentwood as he's, like, selling his house and stuff.
I'm telling you, what we need to do is, I mean, we just got to keep that cast together. And just reenact everything. Every trial. Figure out a way.
Is there any reason why we can't have, like, a Law and Order spinoff?
Oh. Can I throw one out?
Shout out to Ian Carmel for making this reference, but this popped in my head.
Go.
JAG. What if we had JAG with Schwimmer and Travolta?
Sign me up.
CBS Family. We'll treat it with the respect it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep it in the family. We got this. So this is off topic from this, which I don't know how we go off topic of off topic, but I had an idea for a show called Law and Hoarder, in which Ice-T is a hoarder and solves crimes because each episode. And shout out to whoever gave me this suggestion on Twitter. I wish I could remember who you are. But he solves crimes based off of, like, finding some knickknack that he's hoarded, and it helps him solve the crime each episode.
Okay.
It has to be Ice-T.
It has to be, sure.
As the hoarder. This is a must.
Yeah, I'm in on this.
And he solves all these crimes as a hoarder. Like, they always, like, cut to him in his house just full of stuff. Like, wall-to-wall, people are concerned about him. Like, the rest of the Law and Order team is trying to, like, Ice-T, you really need to let go of some stuff. Just call him Ice-T, too. Like, I just...
He doesn't even get the character name?
No, just call him Ice-T.
All right, I'm in on this even more.
And, like, they're like, Ice-T, I'm worried about you. And Ice-T's like, don't worry about me. I got this. And then he solves a crime, and he always shoves that in their face that his hoarding helped him solve the crime. And so he never gets help. And he just keeps accumulating stuff.
Okay. If we can get Schwimmer and Travolta involved, I'm in.
We're percolating. Yeah. Ideas are percolating here.
I could have used more Shapiro. More Travolta.
Yeah. The final Shapiro note we get, though, was really just great Travolta talking about going to Oscar De La Hoya's training camp.
I do have to know, was that actually something that he said, or... Was this just the writer, like, oh, man, who was a boxer in the 90s?
You know what?
De La Hoya?
I'm calling Travolta ad-lib.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
There's like, they just did like 8 takes, and there are 7 on the cutting room floor of him saying different things.
Like Purnell, Sweet Pea Whitaker, and...
and like, we just, yeah. And they just were like, no, De La Hoya is the one.
I like the idea of him just trying to think of mid-90s athletes. He's like, I gotta go to Leon Letts training camp. I don't think that's right, Bob.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to miss Travolta's eyebrows in that.
Yeah, I'm missing
all... I think that's one thing that I'm missing the most in my life is like Schwimmer's hair, which is, I mean, that's a glorious, I mean, he's like 3 decades into just like reigning hair king.
Yeah, he's got incredible hair.
Great hair. And then Travolta's eyebrows, just the way they moved independently of the rest of the face.
That's good.
Those caterpillars were moving.
Yeah, that's really good Botox work, too, to keep them staying on the face. Like, because those things could have gone anywhere.
Those things wanted to – they wanted to play Rover.
I got to know if there was some day early on in shooting where someone saw his eyebrows moving and they called pest control.
I mean, probably.
Had to.
Probably. I mean, those things were just dynamic. And they really just made the character even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which is all I wanted.
I shouldn't just single out the Botox. All of his plastic surgery was fantastic in the show.
Mm-hmm.
The facelift, mm-hmm. The Botox, all of it. The fillers.
Props to his surgeon.
The veneers.
Yeah. Did the whole thing. The tan job, everything.
Right, yeah. Everything was great.
The hair, the wig work.
Oh,
the wig work in this show was just... If they don't win the Emmy for...
Costume.
Makeup and hair.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just all of it. Once again, this show should sweep the Emmys.
Best comedy and best drama.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
100%, because you can't tell me the first 3 episodes weren't comedy.
No.
Can't.
They were great.
And then once they brought Cochran in, it was full-on drama.
On a scale of 9 to 10, what was your final scoring of the series?
11.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
These definitely go to 11. A more recent review...
Yeah.
Would be a movie that I don't think's in theaters any longer.
No, it's coming soon to Redbox.
Yeah, so you're going to have to wait like a month and a half for this.
To go out and get this.
Yeah.
I think I saw it on the last day it was in theaters.
Yeah.
It's still in like dollar theaters.
Yeah, I was really worried, to be honest, because I saw it maybe 2 weeks before you did, and it was already on its last viewings.
Yeah, I went to an 11:40 a.m. on a Wednesday. Stunningly, I literally the last day was at that theater. It's at like the dollar theater now, so maybe that might be economical for the people out there. For
sure.
The podcast,
yeah, save a buck.
Find the dollar theater.
Yeah, spend a buck.
Spend the buck. It's well worth that. I had no problem spending the $10 or whatever I did on it.
Right. So the purge world. Mm. Is, for those who aren't aware, you should really go see the first 2 movies. Well, the Purge world is essentially a political party has taken over, and they have enacted this once a year for 12 hours. You can murder anybody, right?
All crime's legal.
All crime, yeah.
That's like the hook. It's like all crime is legal, which I want to get to something in a minute about that.
Yeah, and so the reason this is a thing is that it's supposed to curb crime
right.
throughout the year because you can just save up that energy, go out, kill without repercussions
right.
on that one night, and then, like, you know, it's supposed to keep things relatively safe
right.
for the rest of the time. Now, I don't think this is a good idea.
Let's preface this by these are not the views of CBS or
these aren't even the views of me, right? But
no,
here's my thought process.
I'm intrigued.
I would never want this to really happen. Right. But the economics of it all, like if some economists could truly break down this world and how much money is saved and how much money is gained through different industries by having this thing, like I would read that so fast.
Oh, I need 10,000 words.
Yeah, like
I'll spend a day on it.
I really
like,
want. Yeah,
I
really want a study. Yeah, I want like a true study on what this could be. And maybe someone's done this for like a thesis somewhere, right?
I would hope so.
So I guess man.
So here's my thought on the economics of this because you brought this up. So this was you told me this was something you were thinking about, And so I went into it kind of with that angle in mind.
Yeah.
And so, like, I understand, like, so the crime rate's supposed to drop. But, like, there's a lot of damage that gets done on that night.
Sure. So, like, in, like,
and so I want to know what the cost effectiveness is of having to deal with, like, 12 hours, a lot of things to get done. And this is another thing is, like, they focus on the murder part.
Right.
But, like, I gotta feel like if arson was legal, I feel like a lot more people would take advantage of that than the murder. Because here's the, you know, maybe this is just me, but, like, fire, I'm about that.
You're about fire?
Hey, fire's good. Fire's
fun. Wow.
Well, you know, fireworks and that sort of thing. Like, I, you know, as a, I grew up, we had bonfires and stuff like that.
Well,
but, like,
Robbie, hold on.
Of all the, go ahead.
There's a huge difference between liking arson and liking fireworks and bonfires.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, if you're talking about the major crimes that are opened up to you on Purge Night,
yeah,
I am most certainly not going to, like, murder people. But, like, if there's one that intrigued,
oh, I'm getting me a TV and a soundbar for sure.
Sure. Well, yeah, like robbery is, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I think arson is underrated in this movie as something people would do.
I guess, yeah, I guess so. I guess arson's so, like, an underrated
crime. So, like, I feel
crime.
Like that's, like, because, like, look, like, it comes with a lot less regret than murder, you know?
Yeah, that's a real thing to reconcile.
Like, that's a lot, right? Even if it's, like, legal, like, there's, like, a moral compass. But, like, burning something down, like, you probably feel a little less bad because there's a few more hurdles you have to get to until you really realize what you've done.
Yeah, I would
murder's
say
murder's very immediate. Like, oh my god, that guy's dead. Like if you
whereas arson, it's like 8 minutes later. Hey, I burned that building down.
Yeah, I burned that building down, and like you have to get a couple more places to, like, man, people probably had stuff in there. Right. You know.
Well, that's and kind so, of a small storyline that fuels part of the character's story arc in this movie is that the insurance premiums went through the roof right before Purge Night.
This is another thing is, like, I want to know how the insurance companies handle this. Because here's the thing, like, I understand that, you know, the point is they're, like, hiking up insurance prices, but this can't be good for the insurance industry. Right? Like, because they have to purchase insurance because it's got to cost a, like, because so much robbery happens.
No, I think it's got to be great for.
Is it? Because everybody's got to have the insurance, and I get that. Everybody's going to have purge insurance.
I think it's a very, yeah, one, everyone has to have purge insurance, and that's going to include life, that's going to include property, like, that's going to include all that stuff, right?
But it feels like they have to pay out a whole lot.
I don't know that they do, because I would guess the payout on a life insurance policy due to purge death is not high. Like, that's something you could very much, you know, set in the contract. And it's not like whole blocks were burning down. Like, we're talking about a store here, a house there. I don't think it was a whole lot. So with the amount of people paying in for purge stuff, you know, for purge insurance to protect property, I don't think there are a ton of claims. Plus, the people who probably get their stuff burned down probably die. So who's going to make that insurance claim?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Is, and this is another thing, like, I feel like they went, you know, you say there's not whole blocks burning down. Again, I feel like they're underestimating this. It's like they really,
yeah,
you know, I know they're trying to focus on, like, people want to go murder. Maybe I'm giving people too much credit.
It does seem that
I don't think as many people would be like, hell yeah, I get to murder people. Like, I think they would want to do more of the robbing and looting and fire setting. Again, we keep coming back to the fire.
There's probably not a huge marketing ploy for on this night every crime's legal.
But that's what they say. They say all
burning
crimes are legal,
down an AMPM.
Well, no, I don't know, man. But no, I'm just saying. I'm not saying they should have focused on it, but, like, I feel like more things would have gotten robbed and looted and burned down.
Yeah,
is all I'm saying.
So I guess
obviously they're gonna focus on the murder because that's the most intense part,
right?
And it's also Build is kind of a horror movie, but it's more of like a thriller.
Yeah, it's not a horror movie for sure. It's definitely not a political thriller.
The weird thing is, like, all the previews are for horror movies. Like, they don't know what niche to go in with this.
Right.
Like, I would have really preferred to see like previews for like some action movies ahead of The Purge rather than horror movies.
Yeah, if ever
because horror movies aren't my thing.
I love horror movies, but if ever there was a time to hit me with like that Expendables 4 trailer, it was before this movie.
But I was jazzed up. If they had hit me with the Jason Bourne trailer, I would probably have just walked right into the theater for Jason, like paid for another ticket and immediately sure. gone.
So my question is, the legal system, the legal industry, the crime industry is so lucrative, right? Not just for like private businesses, but for the government. It's so lucrative. How are they making up that money by eliminating crime? Because that lobby, the lobbyists for that are really going to be
upset by this.
Yeah, they're going to be upset by it. So there's got to be another way. Now, home security, NRA, like all these different...
We just diversify our bonds into different...
Right. But I just, like, what's the tipping point to make it worth it? Like, is there that much more money going into insurance, into healthcare, into home protection, into, you know, firearms? Is there enough to make it worth it? Like, and I get that the premiums and the cost of all this stuff then goes up, but, like, you're talking about one night a year that this mm-hmm. is all affected. Is there a point where they try to make it, like, four times a year? Is there a point where... the premiums are so high that people can't pay them. Like, I guess I just don't understand how this society is making more money, or is it that because crime has been cut down, and because, you know, you don't have a lot of people murdering and everything, you do have a happier society that maybe is able to spend more money, maybe makes more money, and that way it's trickling down into the economy. But at the same time, that a real storyline is that. Minorities are disadvantaged.
So this is the thing
in this whole system of the purge.
So here's the thing about that is I think one of the key storylines is like the people most affected by the purge are the people who can't afford all that stuff,
right?
And they're the ones getting killed. Like it's the poor, like the homeless are getting killed a lot. That's like a theme through all three movies. I think they mentioned that because there's always like. All three movies, there's like one person with like a positive moral compass about this,
right.
Like trying to help. You know, and this one, there's the woman who's like driving the ambulance around,
right? Who apparently used to be like the biggest killer in the city,
right? Change of heart, and so yeah, so like I think the economic part of it is, I think they're like getting, I assume. Based off of what I'm seeing from this particular one went more into the politics of it, is like maybe they're getting rid of like welfare stuff, and so they're trying to like make rich people pay less for that. And so like I think the goal, part of the like, you know, they say the purge is to get rid of crime, but really like the ulterior motive is like they kill poor people and minorities, so less money has to go to that, and they can maneuver money in different ways. So I think that's kind of the economics.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I think that plays a role.
All this right out of the gate mm-hmm. in this movie, we get a hard C bomb.
Whoo! But I'm telling you, I did not anticipate that.
Two of them. Right. Now, the story is essentially this woman, when she was like 18 years old.
I think she was younger than that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Maybe younger. Teenager.
Like teenage.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe still high school age or whatever. Not quite adult. But her family's killed in the purge, right? And she's the only one who survives. And so now she's become a senator running for president, and her whole platform is, I'm getting rid of the purge.
Right, and so she's like, she's coming up, and
she's upset like, the party running against her.
Right, she's upset the party that's been in power for like 24 years, which is also like one of the least realistic things in the movie. Is like that one political party can maintain control for more than 8 years, because that really doesn't happen in America.
They did legalize murder for 12 hours, so I don't know.
That's true. Maybe you can garner more support that way. So they do that, and like we cut to like a boardroom meeting. Where this dude who looks extremely like Jerry Jones.
I really thought it was him for a little bit.
I remember I was in the movie, and I was by myself in this theater, and as soon as he shows up, drops a hard C-bomb.
Ooh, hard C-bomb.
Backs it up with another C-bomb like 30 seconds later.
Yeah. Haymaker, haymaker.
Haven't heard that in an American accent in a very long time. That's usually reserved for the Brits, because it's a whole other...
Brits, Aussies,
meeting,
yeah.
...meeting over there. Haven't heard that in, like, a Southern accent in a long time. Right. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. Like, down here, that's, like, the worst. So, shouts to Evil Jerry Jones, which might be redundant for that. But, yeah, I remember I text you immediately. I was like, look at this Jerry Jones looking. And you were like, no, that I literally have in my notes.
I did. I had in my notes, Jerry Jones looking. Like, that's what I had.
Yeah. I think I text you almost exactly the same thing. this is what I want you to know about when me and Zach watch movies for something like this. We do take notes. This is a labor of love.
Absolutely. It's one of the beauties. I mean, the main beauty is that there's almost never anybody in the theater. That's why I like going to morning movies.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have a little conversation.
Yeah.
We can push the dialogue along, figure out what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
It's good. It's good. You know, morning movies, highly recommended. Weekday morning movies, you have the opportunity. If you are blessed to work a weird hour job,
got to do it.
11:30 is prime time. Like, preferably, like, yeah, the 11 o'clock area, because like, you might catch some lunch people.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy doing all things right around 11 a.m. You miss like the lunch rush for anything. You miss like the weird morning people that like to be active and do things. Those people are the worst.
Right.
Those people are...
I'm out on afternoon.
The people who do things at like 8 a.m. and are like really functional, out on them.
Yeah, out on that. I'm out on late afternoon people and early morning people.
Yeah.
Give me that sweet spot right, like late morning. That's the way to go.
It's beautiful. 10:30 a.m. and after.
Yeah.
Those people are fine, because like people out doing stuff then usually are working like... Those are your retail, late night retail, restaurant type people, you know, salt of the earth.
You're right. People who would be killed in a purge, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, that was the lesson I learned from this, is that anyone who doesn't have money is going to get killed in the purge, except they're trying to kill the senator. And the guy from the last purge, from Purge 2, Anarchy...
Purge 2, broke Ethan Hawke.
...is apparently her bodyguard.
Yo, that... So, I'm... They don't really explain that well.
No.
They don't. They really don't. But I'm fine with it. Whatever. Do what you have to do. I don't want to ask much.
I mean, he's
from
essentially,
plot lines.
So he's essentially like, I mean, how do you get a job with the Secret Service when you've been killing people?
On Purge Night, though.
Not for the government.
On Purge Night, though. It's not recorded.
I feel like there's got to be better vetting than this.
It's clearly there's not.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's running security, and then the NFF, that's right, National Founding Fathers is like the name of the...
Yeah, sounds like a horrible, like, rejected name for the bad guy group in a Metal Gear Solid video game.
Yeah, they didn't really put a lot of thought into a lot of this.
Yeah, the NFF.
No, the new Founding Fathers.
New Founding Fathers, that's what it is.
So, yeah. So they, like, bribe two of the other security dudes that are leading the way along with... I don't know the guy's name. I'm going to keep calling him Broke Ethan Hawke. Because, like, the first Purge had Ethan Hawke. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was the main character.
I thought so. I haven't seen him in a while. But and then they went to this guy, who kind of looks like him. And so he's, like, running security. And while he's, like, out of the room, they, like, do the thing they do in literally every movie ever that has security cams, where they loop it back.
Is that easy to do?
Every movie. Is that even something that can be done?
Yeah, like we... I mean, I guess what's the most famous most famous version of that is Speed, right?
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing this in every movie I've ever watched about a crime.
Yeah.
But some loot, like Ocean's 11 does it.
And all they ever do is just like... They just put like a hair clip on the wire. And then all of a sudden it's looped.
Something, and then all of a sudden they have access to everything.
Right.
And then they can punch like four buttons and loop the video back. I feel like there's got to be more.
Granted,
involved.
I'm not in the CIA.
I don't know.
I just don't feel like this is how it works.
But look, maybe it is. I'm not a video security expert.
Right.
But I feel like at some point, since Speed came out, we should have come up with a better way to protect our video security.
Yeah, definitely. Like they should have learned from that. But so
he's been doing this for 3 years.
So he's been assigned to help her protect her. But there's a call from inside the house, essentially a killer from inside the organization, who is going to let them like capture her. That's the thing. They're not killing her.
You know, they're coming to capture her so they can kill her later.
They're coming to capture her so that they can kill her later. Yeah, like a purge mass.
Which is what these people do? Yeah, they do like a purge mass.
Yeah, and it's the guy she's running against.
Which, like, how... Here's the thing. Even if it's legal, like, I feel like that's the guy at least would want an alibi.
That's a heat check. That's a campaign heat check 40. Right there. Right, like, that's a... You got to be real confident that you're not going to just like turn off every voter out there, which I would imagine is a chance. But side story, we've got Bubba Gump, who owns a store, who has to protect his own store with a guy who moved there from Mexico. I think it was Mexico.
No, it was Mexico. And he moved there, and like he runs, it's like a convenience store.
Yeah, and he's gonna like take over for him someday. But the insurance premiums went up the day of the purge.
First day.
And he couldn't afford to pay him, so he was just going to watch his store, and the other guy's going to help him, and they have to protect it against this fake Nicki Minaj.
Right, who gets mad because they won't let her steal a candy bar
right.
earlier that day. And so things escalate quickly.
I think young people and teenagers are just stupid people in general. And are way too full of themselves. I get that. Like, I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there, right? Like, you get the hormones pumped through your body. You think you know everything about the world. And so you're gonna wild out a little bit. But I can't imagine being in a place where mentally, even in a purge society, where I would be like, you're not going to let me steal from your store. I'm going to come get you.
Yeah, like, and they show up. So they show up in this... It appeared to be a Toyota Prius.
Oh, see, I thought it was a VW Bug.
It was one of the two. It was bubbly.
Yeah.
But you can't tell because it's covered in Christmas lights.
Right.
And it drives down, and they show up, and they're wearing masks, and they have guns.
They're blasting Miley Cyrus, right?
They're blasting Party in the USA.
Right.
Which, I'm going to not lie, that's a great Purge jam.
Oh, fantastic Purge jam.
Would absolutely be on the Purge playlist for you, boy.
Yeah, I once... was with we were in Chicago. I was with Trey Kirby for like a Blogs of Balls event, and he picked us. He picked me and a couple other people up, and we went driving through Chicago. And he was blasting Party in the USA at that point. And it was a great drive because of that song.
It's a great driving song. It kills at karaoke.
Yeah,
it's banger, straight banger.
Really good.
So they pull up with that. She has like a gold. AK?
I mean, this is some...
16-year-old?
A 16-year-old has a gold-plated AK, like she's Caster Troy from Face Off. Like, I mean... or like she's the highest-ranking Call of Duty player in the world.
Hang on. Just gave me an idea. Purge 4, we introduce Caster Troy.
Okay, I don't hate this. Also, feel like there should be a Purge video game. If there isn't, there should be a good one that everyone knows about and wants to play.
I have no idea how we haven't GTA'd this up.
Yeah.
It pretty much is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
With, like, a little more, like, a darker twist. But like, if you just made Grand Theft Auto at night exclusively.
But I think it should be a situation where... it's like a mix between Grand Theft Auto and The Sims. So you have to do everything. You have to do everything in a 12-hour span, right?
Perfect.
And if you miss out and you hear the air horn of like, "Hey, purge over, air horn," which I don't know how killings just stop at that point. I feel like,
do they just like release police?
I feel like you could get a shot off after that. But whatever, they respect the purge horn. But once that purge horn is off, then you're just living like it's like a Second Life or Sims type of situation where you're just waiting a year back out on the purge.
This would explain the economics for us too.
Yeah, and so the whole time you're just trying
we could figure out how much to invest in insurance. Right. You gotta figure out how much to
And you have to get a big enough profit to have a good arsenal of weapons so that you can have your gold-plated AK if you're a 16-year-old.
Hire us, people.
Yeah.
Or just somebody make it. I'm too lazy to actually do that.
I'm not going
to
make a video game, but
just,
I can...
Just please, just take our idea.
There's
okay,
your idea,
make it.
And I just want a free copy. That's all I want.
That's all we ask.
I'm not even asking for profits. Just give me a copy of the game.
Yeah.
So they come, they terrorize the store.
Well, no, they try to, and then, like, the Mexican kid shoots her in the arm.
Oh, right.
To, like, scare her off.
Shot her ear.
Oh, yeah, shot her ear.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah.
It's like a warning shot. That's not a warning shot. That you made contact.
Took a chunk. Tysoned it.
Right.
So then they leave, and, like, I for whatever reason, the Bubba Gump and his buddy think, like, hey, maybe they're leaving. Like, for good, as if there's not 10 more hours of this purge right. For which then to come back. So then the lady comes with the ambulance, and...
She runs over Nicki Minaj. Fake
oh,
Nicki
my God,
Nicki
yeah. So they come back, and, like, they come back with, like, more evil teenage reinforcements that have power saws.
Right, they're trying to cut through the security door.
Right, and so they're doing that, and they're, like, dancing in the streets with their gold-plated AKs as their friends cut through this. And at this point, the senator and Broke Ethan Hawke are with them because they saved them from getting killed by, I'm pretty sure it was some Russians. This was another thing they introduced, was purge tourism this year.
Right. People were coming from other countries to participate in the purge.
Right. Which kind of lit. Not going to lie.
Sure. That's a good summer abroad.
It's a pretty good vacation. And honestly, that's what would happen. Like, that's very real. Like, I'm glad they thought that one through. Put a little interesting dynamic on it. Purge tourism. I liked it. But they saved the senator by just, like, killing, like, 12 people. Just light them up.
Yeah.
Save the senator and the dude. They bring him in. Then make the call for the ambulance when the people show up. The evil teenagers. And then the evil teenagers get run the hell over.
Right.
Like, destroyed by an ambulance.
And then, so at this point, yeah, the people who tried to kill or tried to capture the senator are hot on the tail.
And because they're like neo-Nazis.
Right, yeah.
With a helicopter.
Yeah. They've got, like, a helicopter, a very big ripoff of Furious 7.
The
helicopter chasing.
And it was like, I was like, what, did they have God's eye?
Right, exactly. Like, that's.
I was waiting for Ramsey to initiate a hack and, like.
Right, exactly.
Shit, it was really. Like, yeah, I guarantee you they saw Furious 7, they were like, we got it.
It's either a ripoff or a hat tip. However you want to characterize it is fine. Their whole mission is to get the senator to, like, this underground movement to eliminate the purge. Except their plan, the underground movement's plan, is to go kill the person she's running against.
And right, she,
and
at
she
the
wants,
purge match.
Yeah, and she wants to win a fair election.
Fair and square.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because, you know, the good person has to have, like,
right.
The moral compass or whatever.
Right.
And then, so they screw up and take the ambulance, which they were in, which the people in the helicopter know they're in. They drive that down. Those people leave. And then they come back to pick up the senator and lead the bad people to the bunker, which just seemed reckless. And then they get hit and, like, T-boned by a truck.
Yeah, and they capture the senator.
They capture the senator, blah, blah, blah.
Take her to the church.
You get to the church mass. Then... The organization, like, shoots up the mass and saves her, kind of.
Yeah, so they're going to sacrifice two people at the mass. They sacrifice the first guy, and then and it's like a weird I don't even know how to describe the priest. It's like the only way it could have been creepier is, like, John Malkovich played him.
Yeah.
It looked like, who are the like, white trash brothers from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? McPoyles?
The Boyles?
McPoyle?
Something like that.
Something like that. It's like their long-lost cousin.
Yeah.
It's just murdering people.
Yeah.
And it's very like they all surround the senator and they're
ritualistic.
Gonna, yeah, and they're yeah, very ritualistic, and they're gonna stab her and cut her throat and all this stuff. And then yeah, the resistance comes in, lights them up, lights up security.
Somehow do not shoot, even though they're just spraying semi-automatic weapons, do not shoot the senator somehow, who is propped up on like a push
like
cart.
Like a gurney? Yeah, like an upright
yeah,
gurney?
It's just like a...
It's like what they rolled Hannibal Lecter in.
A UPS. Like
yeah, it's just like a hand truck. Yeah.
Hand truck.
Yeah.
And so like somehow don't shoot her in all of this. Why not? Great aim from them.
Yeah.
Shouts to the resistance. Really been working on their semi-auto aim.
Which is good because they couldn't hit anybody before this moment. So
right.
They really zoned in.
Really up the ante. Yeah. And then they finally are trying to escape. And like the priest comes back and shoots Bubba Gump, which is just wholly unnecessary to do.
Yeah, but he had to pass on the store. To his loved ones, to his family. Not his family, but like his friends who are his family.
Yeah, well, which... Joe doesn't have friends, he has family.
Right,
I respect
exactly. Yeah, another hat tip.
Another hat tip to the Furious Seven.
Or Blade Ripoff, either one. Yeah, and so, yeah, I didn't really think he had to die, and then she wins the election, right?
She wins the election, and everything seems hunky-dory. I'm assuming this is going to be the end of the franchise. I kind of hope not.
No, there's no way.
I feel like they're going to come back with something.
Yeah.
Purge 4.
There's got to be a Purge 4.
Mainly because we need something to talk about in 2 years.
Right. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. It might be my favorite one.
I thought it was the best one, for sure.
I think I'd go 3-1-2.
Agree. The viewing experience of 2 was the best because it was me, you, and Dubin in Vegas.
Right, yeah. You, me, Jared Dubin. It was...
like a $4.75 matinee.
Yeah, it was kind of...
You offered to buy the entire theater tickets, and nobody was a taker, because nobody wanted to see The Purge 2. Zach walks in the lobby and goes...
Yeah, I was up for the trip, so...
I remember that.
And so, yeah, I forgot that I offered... that I offered to buy strangers
and it was
tickets.
It was a bunch of teens in
right.
the lobby.
So
who, like looked at you like you were crazy.
Dude in his early 30s, hey, I'll buy you a movie ticket. Probably not the most comfortable situation for them. But
we were just trying to enhance the experience.
Yeah, I just wanted people to watch Purge Anarchy.
That's all.
Yeah. But Purge Election Year, I'll probably buy it when it comes out.
I won't not watch it when it's on HBO.
Yeah.
That's a firm.
Yeah, once it gets in that HBO Go rotation, I think that's a real win for everybody.
Yeah,
and I really mean this with like all of these movies that, and I get that at a certain point it's kind of hard to do, but if you're gonna have one movie from a franchise, you gotta have them all, and you gotta play them in a row.
Agree.
Maybe that's just coming from a voice who works from home. I don't know how realistic that is for everyone else. Yeah, but I do think that I think that's the way to go with movie channels. I really think movie channel programming could be so much better. So much more organized, I would say.
Look, if they gave me and you a movie channel to just program, I think we'd kill it.
We would.
Either that or there would be far too much Nick Cage for the general population.
I don't think that's possible.
I don't think so either. And there'd be a lot of Van Damme, too.
And we'd have to get the rights to People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story.
Yeah. Like, that's just a every week marathon. Like, Thursdays.
Yeah.
Juice Day.
Well, I think we can safely say thumbs up to Purge 3.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up to People vs. O.J.
Yep.
Sideway thumbs sort of leaning down towards Dwight Howard on the Hawks.
Yeah, just sideway thumb to the Hawks in general. Right?
Yeah, thumbs up to Kent Bazemore.
Yep.
And you know what, Robbie? Thumbs up to you.
Thanks, buddy. Thumbs up to you as well.
Follow you on Twitter at rcallen.
Yep.
Need you on CBS Sports doing... really,
everything.
Almost every sport that's available.
You know, they ask me to do stuff, and I do it.
And you do it, and you do a good job. And Oregon Trail college football preview, you can't miss that. You got to see who dies.
Everybody loves dysentery.
Everyone loves dysentery. Thanks, Robbie.
Hey, bud.